That's the game of football. I think the energy is supposed to be that way. It's been great. You get to watch us once a week. But yeah, we're trying to get better as a football team. We're installing, you know, offense, defense, and special teams. This is the installation phase, so it's disjointed. You know, you have some mental errors. You have particularly team periods, some things that don't look very good. But there's definitely a new emphasis in a couple different areas of that, which happens every year. You're trying to maintain the successes that you've had in the past and continue to build off them with variation, but also identifying the things you need to work on. So I think our practice reflects that.
Mike, you mentioned fumbles and taking the ball away more last week.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Are you guys like treating every ball that's on the ground like a fumble? It looked like even like incomplete passes, guys were going defensively, were going after the ball. Is there some sort of emphasis there, or am I?
Statistically, we have not done very well in the area of creating fumbles. Our rankings speak for themselves, particularly with our sack totals going up last year in the 50s, and our cause fumbles not, because I'm sure as everybody knows, 48% of the fumbles caused in the National Football League are due to sacks and blitzes and hits on the quarterback. So it's definitely an emphasis of ours. We need to create more fumbles, and that starts with the awareness, the footwork, balance, getting your body in position. It has created a little bit of a it's a little disjointed to practice right now, but the emphasis is clearly in place, and our defensive players are doing a good job of it. But it's something we're working through. But we need to do a better job. We need to cause more fumbles.
Is Johnny Jolly here?
No, Johnny Jolly's not here, and just as I've spoken in the past, I'll comment on Johnny Jolly's situation when he's back part of the football team. He's still going through the process.
Maybe not Johnny per se, but what do you think about second chances in the NFL? What players
get
second chances?
Well, I think our society is built on second chances. I think how many times you look through the history of successful individuals that it probably or maybe wouldn't have happened without a second chance. So every case is different. You know, there's no absolute right way and wrong way when you evaluate every situation. I'm glad to see Johnny Jolly going through the process that he's going through. I'm very proud of where he is to this point, but he still has a lot in front of him.
Mike, do you expect him at some point to?
Going through the process, I hope so. Trust me, when he walks in here, we'll talk about it. But until that day, I really don't have nothing to comment on.
Mike, what are your thoughts on your inside linebacker position? I think Desmond was holding out hope that he might practice this week. That's what he said last week. And he obviously brought back Brad and paid him pretty well and restructured things with AJ. How do you kind of view your options?
Well, I felt probably that 2010 linebacker group was the deepest group that I've ever been around, as a head coach. And I think this group, this year's group, definitely has a chance to champion that. You never have enough good football players. Desmond's situation is medical, so until he's cleared there, you know how that goes. Sometimes it takes longer than everybody would like it to. So, but it's clearly a very, very competitive group.
Along those lines, what have you felt of Manning's development over the last 12 months?
Looks good. I really felt Manning came on at the end of the season. You know, he was inactive there. Fought through some injuries. Natural special teams player, someone that that I felt that could have probably made an impact earlier if it wasn't for his injuries. And now to watch him go through the off-season program has a better understanding. So, he's a good young player that we're counting on making an impact. You know, how, when, that's really up to him and the competition at the position.
Mike, what do you think about the league moving the draft to that second weekend in May, and how does that impact your off-season planning for next year?
Well, we plan 6 months ahead, Tom, so that is not within the 6 months. I'm not really thinking about it. I had a conversation with Ted Thompson about it last week, and how he felt it was going to affect things, but we're like everybody else. We'll adjust, and really haven't given much thought to it. Jason told me that was one of the topics today, so there's my answer.
Mike,
How does Andrew Corliss look to you out there?
Clearly the best shape that I think he's been in since he's been a Green Bay Packer. I like to think he's fully past his injury. You know, sometimes it takes, you know, a full year and a half to do that. So he looks really good. He spends a lot of extra time here, has done an excellent job in the area of strength and conditioning and nutrition. So I really look for him to make it, you know, make an impact and definitely, you know, give us that player that we all felt that he was coming on there at the end of his rookie year. So he's the one guy that has shown ability to also, you know, play on the line and off the line, and you know we're challenging the other tight ends to do so. But he can clearly play, you know, all four positions for us in the tight end playbook. So looks good.
Mike, you expect more big things out of Casey Hayward again this year?
Oh, definitely. I mean, Casey, I thought was outstanding as a rookie. Casey Hayward, as a rookie last year, and you could just see that he's very comfortable out there. I mean, his instincts and you know, his route recognition. He had a couple routes he jumped today. So, yeah, I look for him to be a much better player in year two.
Why is it clicked for him quicker than some other rookies?
You know, Casey Hayward is just a natural football player. Things that, you know, obviously they're all. All these professional athletes are very athletic and have a high level of ability and skill set. You know, Casey's is exceptional. The fact that he makes it look really, it comes very natural to him. He's very fluent in everything he does. His hand-eye coordination, excellent hands, anticipation. So, very good young player.
How much like going off a guy like Corliss, when you have a high number of injuries in a previous season and those guys presumably returning, do you make an extra effort during the offseason?
Well, that's really part of the rehab program. Anytime a player is goes through the rehab, he will not be in a team drill until he's absolutely ready, and then some. Just, you know, anytime a player comes off a major injury, and it is May and in June, we make really sure that he's ready to be part of those team drills. So it's that's why some of these injuries take so long, because you don't want to put the player at an unnecessary risk. Especially when he's coming back, as far as Andrew's come back from his injury. So I have all the confidence in the world that he's, you know, he's ready, and he's, if you just watch him play, he's moving, probably moving better than he did before the injury.
How much evaluating do you think he can do in OTAs, Mike?
Well, I really don't evaluate as much as I think probably, you know, everybody else does. I'm really looking for the ability to cross-train, facilitate as many different personnel groupings, you know, create as much competition as you possibly can. I really focus on the reps that the players are getting at certain positions, you know, the combinations of the personnel groups that the offense is running against the defense. Just the height and the learning phase is really my focus. Obviously, we're in helmets and shorts, so the tempo of the practice is really where it needs to be. I'm very pleased with that. So you have to teach your team how to practice. You go through it, you know, you go through it every spring. You go through it again in training camp. It happens every year. It's, you know, it's it takes time. I mean, it's, you know, we've had some good things that have happened at practice, but you can't really say we've had a good practice from start to finish, and that's, you know, the product of new players and some new schemes, you know, because any time a blown assignment happens out there, sometimes it results in a collision that shouldn't happen. So that's all part of the progression of teaching your team how to practice. So I don't sit there. No one's going to win a job this week. I can promise you that. And we talked about it in the team meeting today, because, you know, we've got just some overzealous rookies and guys grabbing jerseys from behind and things like that, you know, just increases the risk for injury. And we don't want that. And that's not what we're coaching. So, and it's not helping anybody. So it's just important for everybody to learn to practice the right way, learn what the heck they're doing, you know, learn the techniques that we're teaching. We do a lot of fundamentals. We always have more now than we ever have. And those are the types of things. The practice needs to look a certain way. And we're not there yet. And hopefully we'll accomplish that by the end of the OTAs.
Mike, what was your thought process in moving the mini camp into the kind of the middle of OTAs? Is that, well, I know you weren't happy with the way last year went. Is that a product of that? What do you hope?
It's a couple different things that changed for the schedule and the reason why the minicamp went to the third week. It's more of a product of what we're accomplishing the following week. Really what we're trying to do in the practices in week four as opposed to the mini camp, because the mini camp, we treat it more like an OTA day. The only difference for us in a mini camp and an OTA day is it's mandatory. The schedule is exactly the same. We really heighten the emphasis towards the rookies and spend the most time there. And if we need to spend more meeting time and elongate the day in mini camps for the veterans, we do. So, I mean, we have that option. But we try to be very systematic. Our coaches spend a lot of time in February, March, and April to make sure their afternoons are free for the one-on-one teaching time, which is so important this time of year. And we felt that's where we were able to gain an edge and get our young guys ready to play. So really, mini camp going to week three is really the product of having the four practices at the end is why I did it. One of the reasons. Good answer.
Mike, off of Bill and Rod's question, just for the 2012 draft class, how much are you counting on them to really make a step forward in this offseason?
I'm sorry, what was the first part of your question?
Just with Bill and Rod's question about Casey and, you know, Manning, how much are you counting on that draft class as a whole to make a step forward in this?
Well, if you look at last year's draft class, I mean, the first thing that really jumps off the charts is how many plays they played. So, you know, the level of experience that the rookie class had last year, I'd be curious to see how that ranks up against the other classes. I'm sure that's something that you could look into, but I think so. Number one, experience is there. I mean, those guys played a lot of football last year. We improved as a defense when particularly the younger guys were in there. So I mean, that's a credit to the younger players. You know, we overcame some injuries. You know, Nick was hurt. So you know, I think he looks really good, Nick Perry. I'm excited about the way he's come back from his checkup last week. So. I say it every year. I think the second-year player is where you make the biggest improvement, and I think this group is no different, and I think they got an excellent foundation to build off of.
Thank you.